Welcome to the Generation Podcast, an audio resource dedicated to a generation of young people who are committed to total surrender to God and total dependence on His power to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. This podcast is designed to strengthen and encourage through a series of Bible-based practical talks. A reoccurring and foundational theme of the generation is revival, but that term is often misused and misunderstood. What is revival really, and how can it be yours? Join Bobby Bosler in this podcast entitled, Can I Have Revival?
Welcome to the Generation Podcast. I'm Bobby Bosler, and I'm speaking to you today from Killeen, Texas. And I want you to know I'm very excited about what God is doing. Things have turned a little bit here. We were just originally going to be parked here because of some cancellations indefinitely. But as we've been here and fellowshipping with the pastor, God has led him to have an impromptu revival meeting this week. By the time you hear this, we'll probably be most of the way through it. But what we are doing is every day at noon, as many as folks as are able and are healthy can come and we'll meet together. We'll talk about corporate prayer. We'll talk about how to have revival. And we'll have a corporate prayer meeting where we're seeking the face of God. Then this coming Wednesday through Sunday, Pastor and I will be alternating each night, each service, and we'll be preaching for revival. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thrilled at what God is already doing here. And in fact, it's because of what God is doing here that I want to share with you what I'd like to share with you here on the podcast. And a question I think comes up that is a very, very important question. How do you have revival? The word revival is an interesting word. It means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To some folks, the word revival simply means a set of protracted meetings. We're going to have revival this week, and by that I mean every night we're going to come in from work dog tired and hear preaching that's going to rip our face off. Maybe that's what you think of when you think of revival. Some people, when they think of revival, they may think of rousing songs and an impassioned preacher, and they might think of a variety of different things. Other people, when they think of revival, they think of God doing something spooky and mystical in a community. And by that I mean, they think of maybe some stories you've heard where people all of a sudden just out of nowhere flock to a church and a bunch of people get saved, or where maybe somebody's preaching and all of a sudden, boom, something happens and things explode. And I'm not in any way diminishing that whatsoever, but I think we've got to get to the question of what is revival. And Pastor here actually spoke on that this past Sunday. It was very encouraging. But revival is simply life again. It is being restored to normal operation. It's being restored back to normal, as some preachers that I greatly respect have explained it to be. In other words, we as Christians are not normal. When we're living in sin, when we're not experiencing miraculous answers to prayer, when the fingerprints of God are not all over our lives, when our lives can merely be explainable by human means, when we're not exhibiting the love, joy, and peace of God, we need revival. That's not normal for a Christian. In other words, as Christians, we ought to be experiencing victory surprised by defeat. We ought to be exuding the love of Jesus Christ, not the selfishness and envying of the flesh. We ought to pray and see God answer our prayers. We ought to see people saved on a regular basis. And if that's not the case, then we need revival. And I want you to know that's not just some really cool super Christian talk there. That is what Christians are supposed to live like on a day-by-day basis. And, you know, really, the generation, if I could say it this way, the burden and passion of our podcast and of the movement and of TG Talks and all those other things is revival. We phrase it maybe in somewhat of different phraseology, but really at the core of it, we're burdened for young people to live in revival. And so that being said, revival is when someone is not where they're supposed to be. They're not exhibiting those things. Their lives are not measuring up to the way a Christian ought to be measuring up. And revival is simply being restored
to that kind of life again. Now, I'm not saying that it's a person getting saved again. If somebody's saved and they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they're bought by the blood of Jesus, their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to heaven, they're accepted in the Beloved, and nothing can change that. However, did you know that someone can be saved and need revival? And in fact, I find many times that's where most Christians are. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. They know they've trusted Christ as their Savior. They may have doubts, but what they need is revival. So the question then, that begs the question, how can we have revival? Well, you know, there's a couple of factors to consider in this, but I want to just focus on two verses of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The Scripture says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, God is really the only way that we can live the Christian life. We've talked about this. In fact, in yesterday's TG Talks episode, as of the time that I'm recording this, we talked about what it means to live Christ. And really, that means to be surrendered to the will of Christ and depending on the power of Christ to do what he's called us to do. And you know, you can't do what God has called you to do without God enabling you to do it. And that's what this verse is saying. He's saying, listen, you wonder why God isn't rescuing you like you think he ought to. In fact, the context of this is Isaiah's predicting the Babylonian captivity for the children of Israel. Israel had been rebelling against God for years. They had been constantly resorting to their idols and to disobeying God's commands. And God finally said, fine, I'm going to have you taken over by a foreign nation, and you're going to be in exile in a land far from your home. Well, that's not what God intended. And God's appeal to Israel here is, listen, God's able to save. God's hand isn't shortened. It's not like God has all of a sudden lost his ability to rescue here. It's not like God can't hear you or anything. But here's the problem. Here's why God isn't rescuing you, he says. Your iniquities. It's your sins that have put a wall between you and God. See, here's the thing. God has given to us his grace. We have everything we need in Jesus to live the Christian life. There is no task he calls you to do. There is no sin he called you to confess that God can't enable you to do it. But if we're harboring sin willingly, if we're refusing to humble ourselves and deal with what God is telling us to deal with, if we refuse to get right, he's saying here, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Let me put it to you this way, young people. You might look at your life and you might say, well, you know what? My life does not exhibit love, joy, and peace. My life does not see miraculous answers to prayer. I'm not seeing people saved hardly ever. I need revival. Well, how do I have revival? Well, you know, the reason why we don't have revival is because of our sin. And so really the first thing that needs to happen is we need to deal with our sin. So when we deal with our sin, we just simply agree with God. We take God's side against our sin. We speak to those that God would tell us to speak to. If you've broken a family law, you need to talk to the head of the family. If you've broken a school a rule, you need to talk to the person in charge of the school. In other words, you deal with it as God would have you deal with it. Confess it to God, deal with it with man, and then claim the forgiveness. And again, my purpose here is not so much to talk all about the sin, but to let us know that if you're going to have revival, you need to start by dealing with your sin. I think many times people want revival and they don't want to deal with their sin. That's not how it works. Let me do this. Let me read to you a brief quote from a man named R.A. Torrey. Now, for those of you that don't know that name, many of you, I'm sure, do know that name. R.A. Torrey was a man that lived in the early 1900s. He was discipled and really mentored by another man you've probably heard of, maybe you haven't, named D.L. Moody. Both of these men were amazingly used by God. They would preach regularly to crowds of thousands, even tens of thousands, and these people saw tens upon hundreds of thousands of people saved in their ministry. They saw God do revival on a corporate level in many, many ways and in many, many places. R.A. Torrey said this. He said, "I can give you a prescription that will bring a revival to any church or community or any city on earth. The prescription is as follows. First, let a few Christians, they need not be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves. This is the prime essential. If this is not done, the rest that I am to say will come to nothing. Second, let them bind themselves together to pray for a revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. Third, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Christ. That is all. This is sure to bring a revival to any church or community. I have given this prescription around the world. It has been taken by many churches and many communities, and in no instance has it ever failed, and it cannot fail," he says. Did you get that, young people? Three things. First, deal with your sin. Get thoroughly right with God. I'll bet you that I'm speaking to some young people. You say, "You know what? I've tried surrender and dependence, and it hasn't worked." You know what? Our friend R.A. Torrey said, yep, that's exactly what happens when you don't deal with your sin first. Listen, I want you to know, young people, sometimes we skip that step and we expect to experience this surrender and dependent supernatural life. And I want you to know it probably isn't going to work. Now, granted, God sometimes deals with someone where they're at, and there are cases in which somebody, maybe they don't realize the sin that's in their life, and God isn't dealing with them about it, and they step out of the boat and God does a miracle. That happens all the time. But young people, I want you to know that if you really want revival, you've got to start by dealing with your sin. Secondly, he says, let them bind themselves together to pray for a revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. You know what that is an expression of? You've heard this on the podcast before. That is an expression of dependence. That is people who realize how much they need God to the point that they set other things aside. They get alone with God individually or corporately. And here he's speaking corporately as a group of people. And they seek the face of God. They say, "God, I'm not okay." They say, "God, I'm not living how I'm supposed to be living, and it's not okay. God, you have to revive my heart." They deal thoroughly with their sins. They seek the face of God in prayer. That's dependence. And thirdly, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for Him to use as He sees fit in winning others to Christ. You know what that is? That's surrender. In other words, it's not just saying, "Oh God, I'm dealing with this sin. I'm getting right with you about this, that, or the other thing," as God deals. It's not just saying, "Oh God, won't you do something?" It says, "All right, let's go. All right, God, you can use me however you see fit. I'm willing. I'm ready. Let's go win the world to Christ." See, it's surrender to the will of God. Did you know, young person, that God has given us the Great Commission? It's not the great option. And God expects for all of us, in whatever state we are in whatever situation, in whatever confinement we find ourselves in, to still be actively involved in seeking the lost and encouraging the saints. And I want you to know, young people, part of surrender is obeying the Great Commission. But here's the thing. If you will depend and surrender, but you have refused to deal with sin that God's dealing in your heart about, Brother Torrey says this: if this is not done, the rest that I am to say will come to nothing. And perhaps it could be that the reason why you've tried the generation thing, you've surrendered to Him, you're depending upon Him, and it just seems like nothing has happened, it could be because, well, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Listen, young people, let me make this disclaimer. Grace is free. You never earn it. You don't earn it by being right with God. But if you, in pride, refuse to deal with sin that he is talking to you about. God says he resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. I will bet that there are some who are hearing my voice right now. During this downtime, you've done things that have soiled your conscience. You've looked at things on your phone or on your computer or on a television set that you know that it doesn't please God. Maybe there are some of you, you've cheated in your schoolwork during this time. You've been in a different setting, maybe doing school remotely, and you figured out ways to cheat. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Maybe you're listening to me and you, because of the close proximity with your parents or your siblings that you're not used to, you've gotten in huge arguments and you've said things that you know don't please God to them. Maybe that's why your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Listen, I believe the Holy Spirit's making application in your heart right now, and I urge you and I appeal to you, young people. Don't even finish this podcast before you deal with your sin. Get thoroughly right with God. Pray and seek the face of God in humble dependence and make yourself available to God in total surrender. In case you haven't caught it, that's kind of what the generation's all about, right? Total surrender to the will of God, whether that means dealing with sin, whether that means serving him, and total dependence on his power to do whatever he calls you to do. Please, young people, be praying for us that God will give us a great movement of his presence and of his spirit here at this revival meeting. And I'm praying that you'll have your own little revival meeting wherever you're at, because you know what? The world is dying and it needs Jesus Christ. And the only hope of this world is for you and me to surrender to God and to depend on his power to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, thanks so much for listening. See you on the next one.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. For more faith-inspiring resources and information about joining the Generation, please visit thegeneration.org. That's T-H-E-E generation.org.